Hi, this is Sharon. Before the show starts, I would like to ask you for your help. I want to know what you think of the show, what you like, what you don't like, how Dr. Pauline and Catherine are doing, if you like the guests that we have. We need your feedback so that we can improve the show. So in today's descriptor is our survey link. If you click on it and it doesn't go, just copy and paste that link into your browser and it will take you to the survey. I hope you take a few minutes to fill out the survey so that we can improve your Dunamos life for you. Thank you so much.
Welcome to Your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And I'm Catherine Pearson. I'm the co-host of Your Dunamos Life.
Yes, and Catherine, today we're going to talk about some health-related issues.
That's right. We're going to give some information we found. Sorry, I said the word info a lot.
Well, one of the things that we have in our mission statement is biblical wellness. So I just want to take a minute and sort of explain what that means and then how this relates to it. Okay, so for us here at Dunamos Center Ministries, we see biblical wellness as caring for all parts of yourself the way that God would want you to care for yourself.
Yeah.
And so it ends up permeating all aspects of who you are as a person or which direction you go. So even though we do spend a lot of time on quote-unquote nutritional issues, the fact is it really is all about biblical wellness, isn't it?
Right. We want to encourage people to consider some of the knowledge and information that we've gained through our studies as humans, you know.
Right.
But also, what does God have to say about it?
And also considering the impact on your emotional health, the impact on how you relate to other people, especially in your marriage, impact on the family.
Exactly.
So you may not look up in a dictionary or a concordance for the Bible and find these topics specifically listed.
Right.
But we're running on the biblical premise that we should know what's healthy, what's not healthy, because it's so important to God for us to enjoy life on planet Earth, enjoy relationship to Him, each other, our children.
Yeah.
And if we're not in a healthy place or we don't understand how to do things in a healthy way, everything's impacted.
So true.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, Pauline, in our American culture, we take for gospel information that has been disseminated by big organizations, possibly including the government.
Right.
And we think that we can rely on that completely.
Right. And we are in information, knowledge-based, technology-based culture.
Yeah.
And so we end up worshiping science and technology because of that.
Right.
More than God.
Or even proposed information, as I'm going to go into today.
Okay. So today we're going to narrow our biblical wellness focus, if you will, down to looking at fats. This is such a confusing and hot topic, so to speak, of our day. Is this a good fat? Is that a bad fat? Should I have a low-fat diet? Should I have a high-fat diet? It's gotten really confusing. But the thing, Catherine, that I think that people need to hear today is we've had a lot of decades of study in this area. So we're starting to find out some things about God, what He supplied, and even science backing it up. So we're in another place of, gee, scientists, thanks for proving the Bible correct. But it's just, you know, so why don't you give us a little bit of that background? Because I think it's so key to how we ended up where we are.
Right. And in fact, Pauline, I'm going to start by describing something I saw in a little video along with this article. Okay. And it said that if you took all of history, starting way back when, all of history, and you put it into about a year's time frame, like you squished it all down, we've only been eating refined grains since yesterday.
Okay, that makes sense.
And we've only been eating vegetable oils, processed vegetable oils, for about 10 minutes.
Wow.
So a very, very short time frame.
Right.
But yet, as I go into this, you'll see that we've kind of come to be eating those a lot more.
Yes.
Than we ever have in the history of human existence, really.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, okay, I'm going to start with in the 1950s, there was...
Hold on for a second. Sorry. Up till then, nobody really thought much about it, did they? They just ate. I just wanted to throw that in. That we're just kind of eating along, toot to do. Here's dinner, here's breakfast, here's lunch. And then...
Right? In the 1950s, there was a researcher by the name of Ansel Keys, which I think we've actually talked about in a show recently in the past. And he published a study that dealt with information from six countries, and it correlated the more a country ate fat, the more they consumed it, the higher their chance of heart attacks and heart disease.
Okay.
But what was interesting is that that was only six countries worth of data.
And out of how many?
Yeah. He actually had information from over 20 countries.
Wow. And he didn't include that.
No.
So he manipulated the outcome to justify his theory.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the results from all 20 countries were all over the map between, and there was actually no strong correlation whatsoever between the amount of fat consumption and the amount of heart disease or heart attack.
Wow.
But he did still publish this study,
mm-hmm,
that claimed that the more saturated fat that you ate, it raised the LDL cholesterol in the blood.
So explain what that is, because a lot of people don't know what LDL and HDL and all that is.
Right. So LDL stands for low density lipoprotein.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit into the show, we'll talk more about LDL. And
okay.
Well, LDL, I guess we could say real quickly, that is claimed to be the, quote, bad cholesterol.
Oh, it is. Okay. Okay.
And the HDL is high density, which apparently is considered to be not as harmful in your system.
Okay. Since we all need lipoproteins, I guess one of them needs to be there. And so it sounds like we want high density.
Right. But in fact, there's...
But we need both?
Right. And okay, there's another piece of this where we're going to talk about that low-fat diets actually change the structure of LDLs and can make them bad.
Mm.
But we'll get to that.
Okay.
So Ansel Keys's theory or hypothesis was that the more saturated fat we ate, the more of the, quote, bad cholesterol we had in our bodies. And the more bad cholesterol we have in our bodies, the more it lodges in the arteries and causes this big word that I'm going to try to say, atherosclerosis.
Atherosclerosis.
There we go. Which apparently leads to heart disease.
Yes.
And heart issues.
Yes.
However, going on, currently, we can state that this theory has never been proven.
Okay.
So he claimed these things.
And then people just said, okay.
Right.
Yikes. You know how gullible we are in this country sometimes.
Mm-hmm. The USDA and the food organizations,
okay,
in the late 1970s really started to push this low-fat diet.
Okay.
Why?
Because... I'm going to say cha-ching. Dollar signs?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because they were in charge of grains and promote and getting, what is it, USDA is agriculture, right? Department of Agriculture.
Uh-huh.
They wanted more people to eat their grains.
Okay.
Wheat, corn, etc.
So by saying that fats are bad, we can get people to move more towards grains, which are lower in fat.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, exactly. So large health organizations have moved away from encouraging people to eat meat, eggs, full fat dairy products.
Wow.
Towards grains, legumes, fruits and vegetables. And those things aren't in themselves bad.
No.
We want fruits and vegetables.
Right. And grains and fiber and things like that.
Right. Right. And in a couple weeks, Pauline, we're just a little teaser. We're going to talk about how added sugars in our diet are really probably the main culprit. But for today, the bottom line is this study promoted.
And it sounds like it has no foundation.
Right, exactly. Has no foundation, and yet it's been used to thoroughly fill our culture, our American culture, with the idea that eating high-fat foods is bad.
Right.
Low fat is better.
All the way down to our medically recommended diets after somebody has a heart attack is all this low fat stuff, which is actually now we're finding out contributing to more heart attacks in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to run a scenario through my head out loud that I'm making up, so don't anybody say that it's real. But after listening to what you had to say, this is kind of what I see. I'm a farmer and I want to sell more of my product. So I want to come up with a way to get more people to buy into what I have to offer. Not only am I a farmer, but then I sell my food products to a food manufacturing company. And these are the companies that bottle, box, bag up mm-hmm. our foods. And they want to sell more product. So somebody sits down and just starts scanning through studies, looking for something to back up their desire to get people on board with their product, and stumbles across this dude and says, aha, we have a scientific study we can say supports us selling you bad food. Okay. Does that sound about right?
Something like that. Yeah. Because unfortunately, when you take the fat out of a food,
mm-hmm.
especially like you were saying, if you want to have a processed, boxed, bagged food and you yes. take the fat out, you're not left with any flavor.
Right.
Unless you put in something to give it flavor.
Gosh, so old. I remember when they introduced Olestra, which was supposed to be a fat substitute. And I don't know if you're old enough for Olestra, but I remember, and our producer Sharon's nodding her head too. So if you've heard of Olestra, Olestra was supposed to replace that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sort of like aspartame was put in for sugar and different flavors.
Yeah.
But Olestra had an interesting side effect. Explosive diarrhea. And so you're getting no fat. Your body's not absorbing any fat because it's making all the food just run right through you. But then you're not absorbing any nutrients as it's going by.
Mm, I think I vaguely do remember that product. Was that the 80s? Late 80s, early 90s.
And it was like for potato chips and things like that.
Yes, I remember that.
You know, instead of us learning discipline. And self-control, which I think I read in the Bible somewhere. You know, maybe Galatians 5, I'm thinking.
Ish,
yeah. It's like, instead of us learning to do things the way God wants us to do, and we keep looking for shortcuts. And
absolutely.
I want to eat 2 bags of potato chips every night while I'm watching TV. So they want to sell me 2 bags of potato chips to eat every night because they make money. But I don't want the fat. So we come up with this thing to try to say it's okay for me to eat those 2 bags of potato chips every night. When really what I need to do is get before the Lord and say, how do I discipline, how do I beat my flesh into submission, as Paul said, in a sense.
Right, right.
And get back on track.
Right. Maybe I consider having some eggs.
To fill me up a little, maybe?
Right? Or some nuts.
Nuts if I want crunchy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I found it also fascinating as we kind of move away from our sarcasm, or not, I don't know. Anyway, is that since this guy introduced this stuff, people have been watching and waiting and watching and waiting. And in the last decade in particular, I've noticed a lot of studies are actually looking at, are these low-fat diets working for real or not?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been some massive studies done to take a look at that. What they will do in these studies, and they'll divide them into 2 groups and put one on a low-fat, one on a regular diet, and then measure things like heart attack,
uh-huh.
weight loss,
yeah.
All of those kinds of things. So I found it fascinating that 3 of the biggest studies that were done on this was the Women's Health Initiative, the Multiple Risk Factor Intervention Trial, which had mostly men in it who were at high risk of having a heart attack.
Okay.
And then there was the Action for Health and Diabetes Study. And they just had thousands of people in them. Like, one of them had 48,000 in them, another had 12. And this last one, I don't see it on the diabetes one, but it's like 12 to 1,800 calorie a day diets and everything, just to try to keep things consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So in all of these studies, which we're talking about over 50,000 people.
Right.
Which is considered quite significant.
Yeah.
When you're doing a study like this. They found that the funny thing about low-fat diets is they don't work. So they don't work because they didn't lower heart attack rates.
Right.
The weight loss difference in all but the diabetic study didn't even broach significant.
Yeah.
Like less than a pound difference or something like that. So what they found was people who just watched their diet and exercised had less heart attacks and lost weight.
Amazing.
No shortcuts.
Right.
Okay. So I found that really fascinating. And before we move forward into our next area, let's take a little break and let's let our listeners know how they can get in touch with us.
Yes, definitely. So on Facebook, you can search Dunamas Center Ministries, and Dunamas is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamasLife. We would absolutely welcome an email from you with any questions, comments. You would like links to the information that we're referencing today, feel free to email us. That address is dunamaslife@dunamascenter.com. And we welcome you to check out our website. Again, it's dunamascenter.com.
Right.
And there is the good old phone number. Pauline, can you give us the phone number, please?
719-231-7183, and you'll get our wonderful Sharon to answer the phone, and she can help you with getting in touch with us or scheduling premarital counseling or marriage counseling or even our birth education, which is so important when you're looking at diet, nutrition, and health, that we talk a lot about that there. But Catherine, before we go back to topic, I also just want to recommend that on the website, dunamascenter.com, they might look for our Bible study on Proverbs, Choices and Consequences, because when I talked earlier about we need to develop discipline and self-control, and there's just so many good things in there that show you the positive outcomes of developing those things. So you can, you know, order a workbook there.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, so what's going on now with what we see?
Right. So those studies, the insignificant differences between the two diets.
Right. And then the low-fat, using a low-fat diet doesn't address the real issue, does it? Even from a physiological point of view. I mean, we talked about a spiritual point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't address our spiritual life at all. Okay. It doesn't help us with emotional issues either.
Right.
And here's, it actually can actually contribute to more emotional problems, more depression, more anxiety, because those lipoproteins, you need those to make your neurotransmitters, the things that help your brain work right. When they started saying not only low-fat diets, but let's lower cholesterol, we've all heard of cholesterol and how, ooh, high cholesterol, so bad. But we've also learned everybody has their own set point, and cholesterol's not the issue, and leave it alone. When they added in drugs on top of these low-fat diets, they found that it was leading to suicidal depression because the people were not getting the lipoproteins that they needed to make their neurotransmitters.
That's not improving anybody's health.
No.
Especially not emotional health, right?
No, not at all. So I eat more of what's not working because I can quote unquote get away with it by calories.
Right. Well, the other thing I think of too, Pauline, is when we have a health struggle going on, it's taxing emotionally because you're worried.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what if I have a heart attack?
Right.
What if it stops beating and you know, that can cause anxiety.
And you know, with the advertising on TV for different medical things, devices and drugs, it's made us way more self-conscious of every little thing in our body.
Right.
It's not focused us in the right place.
What does God want us to be doing and eating?
Yeah, and you even said worry, which
mm-hmm.
draws us away from our spirituality. And so when we're looking at lipoproteins and LDLs and HDLs, we also have to look at cholesterol and that it matters.
Right. And Dr. Pauline, I don't know if you knew this, but there's a type of cholesterol actually that's important too.
Okay, so that's coming about now.
Right. So as I mentioned earlier, the high density lipoprotein is called the quote good cholesterol and is associated with a lower risk of heart disease. And then there's the LDL, which is the quote bad cholesterol. However, I'm going to read just a little bit here. The situation gets even more complicated than that. It turns out that there are subtypes of LDL specifically relating to the size of the particles.
Of so the lipoprotein itself?
Right.
Okay.
It's this size of the LDL particle that matters. Those who have mostly small, dense LDL particles are at a much greater risk of heart disease than those that have larger LDL particles. I don't know how they measure this.
They take your blood and break it down.
I'm so glad there's another scientist that has
looked at this.
Right.
Well, okay, so just for clarification, it sounds like we want the fat chunks, whatever you want to call them, to actually be large. Is it because if they're small, they just like slide through the osmotic wall of the cell and get into places it shouldn't be?
I'm guessing. Yeah.
Okay, so like in the arteries of your heart?
Mm-hmm. Right? Those nice small spaces?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to read another thing here. The thing with low-fat diets is that they can actually change the LDL from the benign large size towards the harmful, like you were saying, artery clogging, small, dense LDL.
Huh.
So there's something about these low-fat diets that's causing our size of the LDL to change and for the structure to be different. So
when you're eating this low-fat diet, that actually causes that to happen?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, that's not good.
I don't know I'm wondering if we put the right amount of fats in, that those molecules, maybe they kind of stay bulked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like a bodybuilder or something. It stays bulked up in the right size for the body to treat it the right way.
So it only allows it to go where it's supposed to go, not into these. See, this to me now, I'm relating it to like leaky gut, where our body doesn't have the right structures, the right fats, the right proteins to even keep our cells attached properly. So then we have these spaces that are created, and then the LDLs can start going through them, the small spaces. Intestine isn't absorbing it properly, and so now the intestine itself isn't working right.
I think that sounds like a pretty good theory.
Yeah.
That's
some of what I read when I'm reading up about like gut syndromes and things like that, is I'm starting to see that when we do low fat diets, the intestine actually needs the right fats. And so does the brain, and so does the heart, and all of these things.
Yeah.
Everything needs the right fats for the body to burn energy properly where it's supposed to.
Another important thing I want to bring up, too, before we wrap up, is when this low-fat diet was encouraged for the American public to start eating this way, it was in the late 1970s and early 80s. And since that time, since we've been trying to eat this low-fat diet, what has happened to obesity rates?
They've gone up.
Exactly. So there's not, we can't say with 100% certainty that there's a causation, but there's definitely correlation.
Okay.
They, at the same time that we started eating low fat, our obesity rates started increasing and going up.
Right.
Yikes.
That's kind of scary.
And as we know, obesity lends itself to very serious issues, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, you know, all these different things. They're very serious.
Right. So, you know, I also find we were talking about that there's an emotional and spiritual aspect to biblical wellness, and now we're talking about this physical piece. And I'm looking at the studies that were put out, and they're looking at these low-fat food products, but at the same time, they're also telling the people in the study, lower sugar, stop eating refined carbohydrates, you know, that sort of thing. So those, any of us who did that would lose weight without even adding in the low-fat element. The difference is when you get the right kinds of fats, you get the healthy fats from a healthy meat, from a healthy milk, from a healthy, and what we mean by healthy is no hormones, no growth hormones, no locking them up so the muscles don't get thin down properly and have the right kind of fat marbling in them. And the antibiotics they're giving to them. And now these cows or whatever are eating GMO grass. And everybody wants to scream that God did not make us to drink milk after we were weaned. And I don't see it when I read the Bible. But the point is, he didn't make our body to digest any of that.
Any of the
antibiotics, oh, hormones, right. GMOs.
Yeah, I think that's a definitely a good point, that not only do we want to eat fats and proteins, but let's check and see where they're coming from a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, so that we can help our body get the right kind as much as we can. When I talk about this, then everybody says that I can't afford organics or whatever. So I did read an article about where should you invest your money in organics, and it was the meats.
Really?
And the milks and the cheeses. Because a lot of fruits and vegetables, you have a skin on them or something. And so that spray, and get conventional fruits and vegetables if you can't afford the organics. And conventional, just they were sprayed probably with a bug spray or something, but they have a skin on them, like bananas, you peel them. It's not in the fruit.
Right,
and the main point is avoiding the GMO products, which don't have enough nutritive value for the body to do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that is so important.
Right, and the other piece is, okay, so you don't have the money to spend on organics, but how much money are you spending on your drugs, medications, insulin?
Oh, my gosh.
So what if we tried to shift that?
Some of it,
yeah.
And get it to healthy foods and get the body healed, and then you're going to spend less. You know, you may, because I work in the mental health field more than anything, do you know how many people spend over $1,000 a month on psychotropics?
Oh my gosh.
So if we could take that $500 to $1,000 a month and invest in organic foods, this is not what their insurance is paying. This is their out-of-pocket payments.
Oh my word.
And they're going broke trying to stabilize their mood with drugs, when if they had the right amount of lipoproteins,
it might do something.
Yes. It would definitely help them to feel better. So really reconsider what you're doing. If you're eating low-fat salad dressings or low-fat this, low-fat that, please really consider.
And again, in a few weeks, we're going to be talking about added sugars and how that contributes to this same issue.
Right.
So stay tuned for that one.
Oh, and by the way, the more fats, healthy fats you have in your diet, the less hungry you'll be. So you won't be just snacking on everything and creating even more problems.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up really quickly, do email us. I mean, I did get an email from somebody about our shame versus guilt show asking what conviction was, and we didn't use the key Christian word for it, but guilt would fit with conviction, just in case anybody else was wondering.
Follow up.
And I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
We will be talking with you soon, and I hope you've enjoyed our show today.